yesterday, the last few minutes of Shir, we started on the Gra and all the kashas on the Gra, and I felt like after Shir that the questions and the way it was presented, the way I presented it, was a little bit jumbled. It was just like a lot of ideas thrown out there. So basically the goal of the first little while of tonight's Shir is just to basically organize what the Gra said, what the kashas on the Gra are, what the various mahalchim suggested to answer the kashas are, and which kashas the various mahalchim actually answered. So what the Gra said, that we already mentioned last night, that we already saw, that's Mefurish Pesukei Tshuva. The Pesukei Tshuva says, B'shem the Gra, and that was in source number, where was that? What was that? That was in source number 7. Every word the Pesukei Tshuva quotes is important over here, that you shouldn't wrap the mezuzah in cloth or similar type items, so that there shouldn't be a chatzitza between the actual parchment of the mezuzah and the doorpost. The mezuzah has to be directly on the doorpost. Good, so says the Gra. Now, in terms of the kashas on the Gra, we saw a number of the kashas last night. Let's go through a few more tonight. We'll start with the ones we saw last night. We pointed out that the Aruch HaShulchan has 3 kashas. I've collected, based on the Aruch HaShulchan, the Emek Bracha, and the Maram Shik, quoted by Rav Avadia Yosef and Yabia Omer, all of which are in your packet, conveniently located in your packet. I've collected 5 kashas on the Gra, but kasha number 4 has 4 subcategories to it. So let's go through the various kashas on the Gra. Kasha number 1 is a very pashut question. The Aruch HaShulchan just says that the Gra was not like the generation after Moshe Rabbeinu. There were lots of generations of great rabbis in between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Gra, and yet the Gra is the first one to think of this. So that makes you wonder whether it's really true. If the Gra is the first one to tell you that you're not allowed to have something, a backing to your mezuzah when you put it on the doorpost, that's a little bit strange. Why did no other rabbi in the history of the world think of this idea? Okay, that's a very simple question. We'll see if it's possible to answer that question. Question number 2, the Aruch HaShulchan also asks, is the Rambam, when he discusses how to put up a mezuzah, and we're going to discuss this Rambam in greater detail later on, the Rambam discusses the idea of nailing it into the wall. Well, if you don't have a mezuzah cover and you don't have anything wrapped around the mezuzah, does the Rambam really envision that you put a nail through your mezuzah itself, through the cloth of the mezuzah itself? That's a little bit hard to take. It's hard to imagine that one is permitted to, can you imagine putting a nail through a Sefer Torah? It's hard to imagine. It's hard to take that it would be permissible to put a nail through a mezuzah. So that is kasha number 2 of the Aruch HaShulchan. Kasha number 3 of the Aruch HaShulchan, and this kasha is mentioned by many of the other achronim as well, is that it's mentioned by the Emek Bracha, the Maram Shik, all of them mention it, the Emek Bracha with a little more detail than the others, is that once you put the mezuzah on the wall and you nail it into the wall, doesn't the case itself become batel to the doorpost anyway? Meaning, if I were to take this doorpost and add a 2x4 that runs up from the bottom of the doorpost to the top and just nail it into the doorpost, well, guess what? That's my new doorpost. Once it's attached, it becomes part of the doorpost. So how can you say that it's a chatzitza between the mezuzah, between the cloth of the mezuzah and the doorpost? It is the doorpost. That's the very definition of the doorpost. It's bottled to the doorpost. Yeah.
That question, you'd say it's more bottled to the mezuzah.
Right. One would think it's more bottled to the mezuzah. The reason why they say it's bottled to the doorpost is that anything nailed to the doorpost should be bottled to the doorpost. That if it's attached to the door, meaning, as some of the guys were telling me in the Beis Medrash, they were thinking of the concept that we discussed last year when we were discussing Tevilas Kelim, that when you have, let's say, an electric kli, every once in a while someone will ask, you know, how do you tovel a sandwich maker or whatever? You get that just the other day, 2 different people send me an email. How do you tovel a George Foreman grill? So if you have to tovel a George Foreman grill, how do you tovel it? So there is the sheet of the Chalkas Yaakov. Chalkas Yaakov holds, I mentioned last summer, we don't necessarily pass like this, but the Chalkas Yaakov holds, it doesn't require tefillah because it only functions when it's plugged in. And when it's plugged in, it's mechubar lakarka. And therefore it's not mekabel tumah, and something that's not mekabel tumah doesn't require tevilah. That's his chiddush. That's his idea that it only works when it's plugged in, therefore it's mechubar lakarka. But anything attached to the house, what does it mean it's mechubar lakarka? It means it becomes part of the house. it now is the din of the house. This comes up, for instance, in Hilchos Nida. There is a halach in Hilchos Nida that if a woman finds a stain of blood, not a regular flow of getting a period where a significant amount of blood comes out, she finds a little stain of blood. So there are a number of kulas, since it would only make her nida midrabanan anyway, if it's just a little stain, there are a number of kulas that the rabbanan built into that halacha. One of those kulas is that if she finds a stain of blood on something that's not mekabel tuma, then she's not tameh. So for instance, if she finds a little stain of blood on a polyester sheet, polyester is not mekabel tuma, so she's not going to be tame from that stain. If it's a gush, a flow of blood, so then she's tame no matter what. But if it's just a stain, she's not going to be tame. So the post can discuss, what if she finds a stain on the toilet bowl? She gets up from urinating and she sees there's a stain of blood on the toilet bowl itself. So is it on something that's mekabel tuma, or is it not on something that's mekabel tuma? So the post can all point out that if it's a toilet bowl in the house and it's not a porta potty, so it's mechuber lekarka, mele, it's not mekabel tuma. Why is it not mekabel tuma? Because the toilet bowl becomes part of the house. When the plumbing is hooked up, it's actually attached to the house. It becomes part of the house. So when you nail a mezuzah in, it's a little strange, la havdil, toilet bowl and mezuzah. But when you go from the makom metunaf to the holiest thing you have in your house, but when you nail a mezuzah into the doorpost, it becomes part of the house. It becomes part of the doorpost. Now, variations of that kasha, that it should be part of the doorpost of the house, are asked by all of the achronim. It's asked by Maram Shik and the Emek Bracha. The Emek Bracha asks it in the fanciest way of everybody. The Emek Bracha just writes that he said, if you look at the beginning of Os Yud, he says, L'chor kasha, Nihidim nasana mezuzah bishvo feres, the second paragraph rather in Os Yud, granted, if you put the mezuzah in a tube, sheish lo beis kibul, that has a receptacle, davei kli u'mekabel tuma, and the tube itself is a kli, before you ever attach it to the wall, let's say you have a test tube that's perfect to fit a mezuzah in, right? Like in a science lab. So that's a kli before you ever put a mezuzah into it. It's a kli, it's mekabel tuma, it's its own thing before you ever put a mezuzah into it, and before you ever attach it to the wall. De'eno batel mezuzah habayis af la'achar shekabu v'chibru l'bayis, mishum da'yi lo shem kli betalush. He says, I can understand you could argue in that case that even once you attach it to the house, since it already had a shame kli before you attach it to the house, that it's not going to just become batel to the house, that it's going to retain its own identity. That's fine. But im karacha mezuzah beklaf uchadome. But what did the gra say? The gra didn't say you're not allowed to put it in a kli. What did he say? You're not even allowed to wrap it in cloth, if you have an extra piece of parchment to wrap around the mezuzah, a piece of saran wrap, a piece of wax paper to wrap around the mezuzah, you shouldn't even do that, because that's going to be chatzitza between the parchment and the mezuzah of your house. That's what the Gra said. So, Frek Diemek Bracha, that's not a kli. You have a piece of parchment, it's not a kli, so why shouldn't it be bottled to the house? You stick it onto the doorpost, it should definitely be bottled to the house. So that is that's the way the Emek Bracha asks the kasha. That is kasha number 3. Rav Shlomo Kluger points out, just by the way, that when it, in terms of answering this question, that when it comes to mezuzah, it could be that there's a very different halacha than there will be when it comes to tefillin. Meaning, I mentioned yesterday, well, why don't we just, is putting mezuzah in a mezuzah case the same thing as keeping tefillin in the plastic boxes and then wrapping them on your arm? And that's obviously problematic, mishum chatzitza. So shouldn't we say the same thing about a mezuzah? So Rav Shlomo Kluger is quoted by Rav Avadya Yosef in Yabi Omer Chel Ches Yordeus Muchav Tes, and he says, V'lo domi l'tefillin, shechatzitza polselas bo, debitfillin shetzarech laniach al yado dahainu al besaro, v'manichan l'dover achra v'chatzitza. Aval mezuzah shekova bekosel. He says, a very fundamental difference. The halach is tefillin need to be on your flesh. If they're on your sleeve, that means they're not on your flesh. If they're on a piece of plastic, it means they're not on your flesh. Mezuzah, the parchment, needs to be on the mezuzah, on the doorpost. How do you define what is the doorpost? Well, whatever's attached to the doorpost becomes the doorpost. Meaning there's no specific material that's defined as doorpost material. You can't say, oh, if it's wood, it's a doorpost. What if there's a piece of metal over the piece of wood? That's not a doorpost. No, if it's attached, that's also part of the doorpost. What if there's paint over that? That's also part of the doorpost. There's no specific material that you define as the doorpost. So anything that you attach in, that you nail in, becomes the doorpost. Memela, the mezuzah, is on the doorpost. As opposed to by tefillin, there's a specific din that needs to be on the basar adam, on your flesh. Anything else is not tefillin on flesh. There is a specific material by tefillin. There is none by mezuzah. That's just a way of strengthening this kasha on the gra, that it should be batal l'kosel and should not be brought mechatzitza. And don't bring me any rayas from tefillin. So again, so far three kashas. Number one, it's nowhere in earlier poskim. Number two, the Rambam speaks about a nail. Hard to imagine nailing through the cloth of the mezuzah. Number three, that it should be batal to the kosel. So far, it's three kashas. Yeah, you have a question?
Yeah, but why can't you differentiate when it comes to doorposts, like the paint which is fairly painted over as opposed to something that you're going ahead and attaching after the fact?
Well, like let's say I had a doorpost that was a kosher doorpost, and I wanted to make it a narrower doorpost. So I added 2x4s on both sides. So is that not the doorpost now?
Yeah,
sure it is. Yeah. That becomes part of the doorpost.
But although, why would that be able to constitute that?
Okay, let's say you have a doorpost that's a little raggedy. If it's a shelf that sticks out, so that would be a problem. We're talking about the backing of the mezuzah. It's like paper thin. Literally paper thin. He's talking about a cloth. The grove's talking about a cloth. So, you know, that type of jutting out of the size of the thickness of a piece of cloth, l'chora, should not be considered something separate. Yeah.
Is there a source that we can't put a nail through a cloth of a mezuzah, or we just
assume? So we're going to have to see that. I was assuming it. The Aruch HaShulchan did not quote a source for it. So we have to find if there's a source for it. We'll have to see. Let's see if it's a possibility. Some of the posts will raise that possibility. Fourth issue, and this is the most complicated issue. Well, actually, I'm going to switch them around. Let's do a less complicated one for the fourth issue. Fourth issue, let's say, is the Gemara Bava Metzia we saw last night. There's a Farish Gemara Bava Metzia that says that don't worry, a socher is responsible for a mezuzah, even though it's a Maisa Uman, and normally a Maisa Uman is a responsibility of the maskir, because normally, if you have a stone doorpost, in order to be able to put a mezuzah there, you have to hollow out a piece of stone. You need an Uman for that, someone with heavy machinery and equipment who could chisel out a piece that you could put the mezuzah in. But the Gemara said, don't worry, you could always put the mezuzah in a reed, and that will be fine. What exactly that means, we'll get to. The Bach has a very... I was not clear about that last night in my own mind, and therefore I wasn't clear and sheer about it last night. The Bach spells it out much, much more clearly. What that means, that they put it in a reed, and what Tosus meant when he analyzes Rashi Shita and his own Shita based on that. But the bottom line is, the Gemara says, Beferish, you put the mezuzah inside a reed of some sort. That sounds like you put it in a tube. Not necessarily a reed, a tube. You put the mezuzah in a tube. Obviously, then that's at least as bad as the cloth that the Gra said you're not allowed to wrap around the mezuzah. So why isn't that a problem? Not only that, the Emek Bracha just enhances this question a little bit more by saying, and especially according to the Tosfos and Bava Metzia we saw last night, where Tosfos says, what's the whole purpose of putting it in a tube? It's to protect it from moisture. So you can't say the tube is only on the outer part of the mezuzah. Be'ikr, you need the tube on the back of the mezuzah. That's where you really need the protection. It's to protect it from the moisture of the wall. So that's where it needs the most protection. So there's no way you could say that it only covers, it only goes around 270 degrees and leaves a little space in the back. No, you got to say that it goes all the way around. Yeah?
Wouldn't that be another question? What do you do about the whole issue of Nafika, according to the ground?
What do you do about the whole issue? Maybe you don't touch where it says Shin Dalad Yud. I was just thinking about that last night. Why do you have to touch Dafka that area? Just touch the mezuzah.
Okay, what about the bizayon?
What bizayon?
Remember we said in certain rooms it's a bizayon to the mezuzah?
Right. So, that's an issue. Well, the grow, it's not really an issue, because the grow would say there's just no backing to the mezuzah. Neither of those necessarily have to be an issue. Just don't put the backing on it. A lot of the mezuzah cases come with a front and a back. So just don't put the backing on it. Right? The grows were only worried about the chatzitza with the doorpost. Now, the final kasha that the Achronim ask, and this, again, has four subcategories, is that this should not really, even, let's say it this way, this should not present a problem of chatzitza. Having the backing on it should not present the problem of chatzitza. Now, that kasha, What does that mean? That's not a kasha, it's a statement. There are four ways to phrase, to formulate that kasha, to make that statement into a kasha. Two of the ways say that there shouldn't be an issue of chatzitza by mezuzah at all. And two of the ways will say, even if there is an issue of chatzitza by mezuzah, wrapping it in cloth should not create a chatzitza. Meaning, even if you are worried about chatzitza in Hilchas Mezuzah, and there is such a thing called chatzitza in Hilchas Mezuzah, klaf shouldn't be it. So let's go through the ways. Maram Shik writes that the word al, chsaftam al mezuzos pesecha, so that's presumably the source of the grub, that it needs to be literally al hamezuzah on the doorpost. So you can't have anything being chotzitz. Says Maram Shik, there's a Gemara Menachos Tafsadi Ches. The Gemara Menachos discusses one of the most important karbanos mincha that we have. We don't think of it as a karban mincha very often, the lechem apanim. Lechem apanim that we had, the 12 breads each week in the Beis HaMikdash, is a karban mincha. Right? So it discusses, the Gemara discusses how many breads are the 12 breads. So give it away, there are 12 breads. But the Gemara wasn't so sure about that at first. The Gemara said, how do you arrange the 12 breads? Should you have 8 and 4? Should you have 4, 4 and 4? Three rows of four? Should you have 7 and 5? So the Gemara says, no, it's got to be 2 rows of 6. Learns it out from Pesukim. The Gemara says, if you have 2 rows of 7, you have 14 breads, 7 piled on top and 7 on the other side, then it's kosher. It's just that the top two, we count them ki'ilu, they're not there. Frek the Gemara, but on the lechem apanim, you not only have to, on the shulchan, you not only place the lechem apanim, but on top of the lechem apanim, the pasuk says you're supposed to put the vaziche levona, the spoons of frankincense, right? The spices. So you need to put those spoons on the lechem. So if it has to be on the lechem and it's on top of the top ones, and the top ones are the seventh ones that we're pretending aren't there, well then that's no good. It's supposed to be on the lechem that counts, and only the first six ones count. So how can you say when you have 2 piles of 7 that that's okay? Just pretend the top ones aren't there and you're good. No, the spoons that are on top aren't on the right place. So the Gemara says, no, al doesn't mean on. Al means besamuch. It means close to, nearby. That's what the word al means. So, says Maram Shik, the Gruz whole source is that it says that you're supposed to put the cloth al hamezuzah, you're supposed to put it al mezuzah besecha. Well, maybe al, and therefore he says, oh, it's got to be on, can't be any chatzitza. Says Maram Shik, no, al could just be besamach, nearby the mezuzah. Doesn't have to be directly on the doorpost. Therefore, no chatzitza issue when it comes to mezuzah. Meaning, Hilchos mezuzah doesn't recognize chatzitza as a problem. The Emek Bracha points out, there's a Tosefta in Kelim, that even a kli that's mekabel tuma, that has a mezuzah inside of it, is kosher. So you see clearly that we're not worried about chatzitza when it comes to Hilchos Mezuzah. Because you see that even a kli that would still be mekabel tumah, it still has a din of kli even after it's attached to the wall. It's not batel to the house. But it's kosher for mezuzah, it's fine. So the Emek Bracha points out from Tosefta in Kelim, it's quoted by the Rambam in Hilchos Kelim. So if that's the case, even when it's not batel to the wall, we still say it's okay, it's fine. So you see that there is no such thing as a chatzitza problem. We know when you go to the mikveh you can't have a chatzitza. We know when you take lulav you can't have a chatzitza. We know that there is a din of chatzitza in various halachos. It never says it anywhere by mezuzah. We have two rayas that there's no such thing as a chatzitza by mezuzah. That's one side of the chatzitza issue. That you could argue that there is no such thing as chatzitza by mezuzah. The other side of the chatzitza issue, I told you this question is the most complicated of all the questions. The other side of the chatzitza issue is that maybe there is such a thing as chatzitza. Let's assume for a moment, let's grant you that there is such a din called Hilchas Chatzitza by mezuzah. That there is such a problem called chatzitza by mezuzah. If you follow the normal dinim of chatzitza that you have in all of Hilchas Chatzitza everywhere else in Shas, like by Dalin Minim, like by Tevila b'mikvah, like by tefillin, you follow all the normal dinim of chatzitza, you will find that wrapping mezuzah in a cloth is not a chatzitza. Why? So two ways to say it. Maram Shik says there is a klal in Hilchas Chatzitza, kol l'na'oso eino chotzeitz. We learned it in Sukkah this year. Anything that's there to enhance the beauty of the item is not a chatzitza. It's there as part of the item, to make the item more beautiful. So it becomes batel to the item itself. The mezuzah cover is there to enhance the beauty of the mezuzah. So it's not going to be chotzeitz. Yeah?
There's no beauty between the mezuzah and the door.
Well, the whole cover is there for noy, and therefore, I think you would view it as...
We don't need it. It's like, I'm saying like...
Okay, I hear that. That's an interesting point. You could say that, that you could view it as... I would imagine you view it as one large kli. I mean, you could argue that, let's say you have a two-piece mezuzah, that a mezuzah cover, that has a back and a front, that they could be viewed as two separate kelim, and the back is not l'na'oso at all. It's more functional just to attach to the front. So you could argue that... But if it's a tube, so then clearly the tube is there l'na'oso, and the tube is not going to be chotzeitz. Or, in this case of the gra, a cloth that you wrap around it. You take a nice, clean piece of cloth and you wrap it around to hold it together. So that's l'na'oso. That's not going to be a chatzitza, even though it's in the back also. So that's a rule. Kol l'na'oso in a chotzeitz. The Gemara in Sukkah says it explicitly. The Emek Bracha points out there's another rule. Yeah?
Didn't we say last night that tefillin plated in gold is a problem with a chatzitza? Wouldn't that be the classic example of like beautifying mitzvah and still an accident?
It might be a problem... did we discuss plated in gold? I don't remember, but it might be a problem not of chatzitza, but of a more fundamental problem that it's just a psul in the tefillin.
Okay.
So it's there's halachal moshe misina that the tefillin need to be black. We're going to get to that. I hope we get to it. If we finish Hilchos Mezuzah, we're moving on to tefillin next week. The other way to say it, the Emek Bracha points out, is again, lu yitzuyur, I'll grant you that there is such a thing as chatzitza by Hilchos Mezuzah. Still, a piece of cloth wrapped around it should not be chatzitza, because there's another rule in Hilchos Chatzitza, min b'mina ve'ino chotzeitz. When you have something that's the same min, it's not going to be a chatzitza. Cloth is the same min as the cloth of the mezuzah. So granted, our mezuzah covers, it's a piece of metal or on a wood doorpost or vice versa, so that's not min b'mina. Okay, that's going to be a chatzitza. But the Gra said, or the way the Pesach Yeshiva recorded the Gra, is to wrap cloth around the mezuzah. Well, that's min b'mina, say no chotzeitz. This comes up in Hilchos Tevila all the time. If you have something that is gadol b'mayim, that grows in the water, it's not a chatzitza for Tevila. So if someone, let's say, has something like fish skins, are not a chatzitza for Hilchos Tevila. It sounds a little gross, but if someone has something, let's say stitches or whatever, that can't get wet, so there are poskim that suggest simple eitza, take a fish skin and put it over the stitches. The stitches won't get wet, and it's not going to be a chatzitza because the fish skins grow in the water.
The stitch itself
might be a chatzitza, depending on when the stitches are, at what stage you are in having the stitches.
Why would putting a fish skin change
that? It won't change that. Assuming the stitches are not a chatzitza, because you could argue that at points where you need those stitches to hold the wound shut, it wouldn't have a din of a chatzitza anyway, because it's something that you need. The halacha of chatzitza is that a miut, if it covers a minority of your body, it's only a chatzitza if you are makbid, that you wouldn't want it there. But one could argue that by stitches at certain points, you dafka need it there. You dafka do want it there, you do not want them. If they break, you're in trouble. Right, you really want them there. So in that case, if it's a miut she'eno makbid, that's the din. The din by chatzitza of tevila is that on a daraisa level, the only chatzitza you have by tevila on a daraisa level is if it's a rubo umakbid. It's something that covers the majority of the body or of the kli, and it's something that you're makbid that you don't want to be there. So almost every shaila, almost every single shaila that a rabbi will ever get in his career about hilchas chatzitza by tevila, when a woman comes back from the mikvah and says, I think there might have been a chatzitza problem, or the mikvah lady calls and says, I think this woman has something, it might be a chatzitza problem, is always a chatzitza midrabanan, because midaraisa, in order to be a chatzitza, has to cover the majority of the body, and it has to be something that you're machpid about. So a woman would literally have to go to the mikveh in full scuba gear in order for it, you know, or completely covered in mud in order for it to be chatzitza. And they'll probably notice that, like, before she steps in. But if it's where it becomes a problem, midrabbanan, if it covers either the majority of the body or it covers a minority of the body but your machpid, it's not something you would want there. Like, let's say a woman takes off her nail polish on 9 out of 10 fingers, and there's still nail polish on one of her fingers. So it's a minority of the body, but she would certainly mock, but she certainly would not want to walk out of the house with one nail polished. It would be very terribly embarrassing if she went to a wedding and then came back and was like, oh my God, right? It would be very embarrassing. Or like lipstick on one lip or something like that. I don't know. You know, so that would be embarrassing. So that would be something that she'd be makbid on. So that's a chatzitza midrabanan. It's very rare to have the other way, to have a chatzitza that's rov and eno makbid. So that covers the majority of the body, but she doesn't care. She doesn't mind it there. She'd like to leave it there. The only example I thought of, someone asked me this shaila, came very close to being an issue of rov eno makbid. This is way off topic, I know, but there's apparently something that people do that they get a spray on tan that you could. You know, you go to the spa, you sit there for like 2 hours, and they spray your whole body up and down. And, you know, if you're making a simcha or something, so you want to look like before the simcha you weren't up late at night making tables, you were in Florida enjoying yourself, so you get a spray on tan before before the simcha. So the question is, if it's something that rubs off the skin after a while, if it's like, you know, someone were to give a hug and be orange afterwards, you know, then that would be something that would cover over the body. It happens to be the mitzius of the fancier spray on tans that they have now is that it just absorbs in the skin. It becomes part of the skin. Ultimately, it fades because you're always shedding skin. It's not that the tan sheds. It's that your skin always sheds every, I don't know how often. It's shorter than you think. You're shedding a layer of skin. It's like every 9 days or something, you're shedding a layer of skin. So, anyway, the things you learn when you're a rabbi. So, where were we? So the final kasha on this gra is this issue of chatzitza. And again, this issue of chatzitza means two separate things. It means A, that there shouldn't even be a din of chatzitza by hilchos mezuzah, and B, that even if there were a din of chatzitza, this isn't called chatzitza. Good. What are the solutions? So 4 solutions that we can collect from just looking at the various achronim that we have here. Solution number one, we'll go with the easiest one first, is the Emek Bracha. At the very end, he just says, Tzarech lomar b'das ha-gra, d'dvar v'elu enom al pi gidrei halacha, el al pi ha-kabbalah v'asod. The gra is not talking halacha here, he's talking kabbalah, so we don't need to understand anything, because it's kabbalah. So granted, we understand nothing, good, that's what we're supposed to understand, it's kabbalah. Okay, I mean, it's hard to argue, I don't know if the gra said el pi halacha, or al pi kabbalah, but okay. What are you going to say? What can you add to that? Answer number 2 is what the Emek Bracha originally tries to answer. It's a little more complicated. The Emek Bracha says, "Well, wait a second." And this answer only answers the question about it being buttle to the kosel, about the fact that the mezuzah is buttle to the wall. He says maybe the mezuzah is not buttle to the wall because at the time that you're placing the mezuzah on, it has to be placed on something that is already the mezuzah habayis. That's already the doorpost. Granted, after you put the mezuzah in the case on, the case becomes part of the mezuzah, the back of the case becomes part of the doorpost. I keep saying the word mezuzah in terms of, I should use the word doorpost to be clear which mezuzah I'm talking about, because we colloquially refer to the klaf as a mezuzah also, but really mezuzah means doorpost. Granted, after you put the klaf in the case, on the doorpost, the back of the case becomes part of the doorpost, but at the time that you're attaching the cloth in the case to the doorpost, the back of the case is not yet part of the doorpost. So it only becomes part of the doorpost afterwards. So he says that's a violation of Tasev Lomen Asli, that you're supposed to place it on. Tasev Lomen Asli is a concept that we have in various halachas that require asiya, where you need to make something. Your act of making has to be the final step. It can't be an act that you do an act and then somebody else comes in and makes a kasher. For instance, let's say I put up the schach on my sukkah and then I put up walls. So that's a violation of ta'asev lo mena'asu, because at the time that I did the asiyas haschach, I didn't make a kasher sukkah. What made a kasher? The putting up of the walls. That's ta'asev lo mena'asu. Or Or, for instance, Rav Shecht said he was in Eretz Yisrael a while back, years ago, and he was in a hotel on Sukkot, and there was a major windstorm, and Schach was blowing off Sukkot right and left. So there was a sukkah on one of the lower porches in the hotel that its schach blew off, but a schach from one of the upper porches blew off and landed right on the lower sukkah. Perfect! But no, that's Ta'asa B'lo Menasui. Aside from the fact that it's not yours, you know, but assuming that it all belongs to the hotel, and that would still be a violation of Ta'asa B'lo Menasui. You would need to then manipulate the schach to do something with it, to do an asiya on it. This comes up in Hilchos Tzitzis. Let's say I have a beged that has three corners and one rounded side, and I tie tzitzis on all four, sides, and then I square off the last corner. That's Ta'asav L'Manasui. So over here also, says the Emek Bracha, it's not the fact that the backing of the case becomes bottled to the wall is too late. That's afterwards. So granted, afterwards it turns out that what you put the mezuzah on turns out to be the doorpost, but it wasn't originally the doorpost. Not when you were putting it there. And therefore it's a Ta'asav L'Manasui. That is, but again, that would only answer question number three. And we had four other questions that need to be answered. Yeah?
You could first attach the back anyway. And then.
Yeah, if you do that, right. If you do that, that would be fine then. Yeah. Again, the tube would be a problem, but if you were to attach a back first, yeah, then you'd get around that problem.
I can just attach the tube to the wall.
You could do that too. No, his problem with that was that even if you do that, the Tosefta in Kalim still says that even if it remains a kli, it's still going to be fine. Even if you want to argue that, if you want to argue for the grud that it remains a kli when you do that, so then it's going to be fine. It would still be okay. So I mean, that's just a further kash on the grud. But in order to be miyashiv, why it is that you can't, before it gets to that point, to be miyashiv, the question, why it is that you don't just say it's batel to the doorpost? So that was his yishuv. But again, he rejects it because he has all these other problems with it. That would only answer number three. Then there's a das kedoshim. This is solution number three, and the solutions are getting progressively better in terms of what they address. Solution number three is the Das Kedoshim. It's quoted by Rav Avadia Yosef and Yabia Omer, where he writes that he says that when it comes to a tube or something like that, it's not a chatzitza, because that you attach with nails to the doorpost and becomes part of the doorpost. But a piece of paper or cloth that you wrap a mezuzah in, it won't work. That's going to be chatzitza, because you don't nail the cloth into the doorpost. So what's he saying? So pashtus is what he's saying is, and we'll leave this as the last answer, pashtus what he's saying is that if you want to use only a parchment and attach the parchment to the doorway, fine, you're right. The Gra shouldn't have a problem with that. It's not so pashut that was what the Gra was saying. The Gra had a problem with using a parchment around or using a piece of saran wrap around your mezuzah. His problem was, if you're going to use saran wrap and mezuzah case, one of those things is extra. One of those things is totally unnecessary. And one of them isn't really attached to the doorpost. Meaning the way we do it, we put our cloth wrapped in saran wrap or wax paper or something, and then we put it in the tube, and we attach the tube to the doorway, right? So granted, the tube that's attached to the doorway is bottled to the doorway, but the mezuzah is just placed inside the tube, loosely placed inside, that's totally extra. That should be a chatzitza. The cloth that he says, don't wrap it in a cloth, he's not talking about forget about using a mezuzah cover. He's saying, if in addition to the mezuzah cover, you wrap it in a cloth. It's the best answer for the Gra, because it's the only one that really starts to address all the questions. So why is it not mentioned anywhere in Poskim? Maybe none of the Poskim thought of the idea of using a double cover. Whoever did that? They just put a mezuzah cover on and they put it in the door. Whoever wrapped it in something else also. So the Gra noticed that the minhag had become that people started doubling up. And he said, wait, that's not okay. It's not just an extra chumrah. And the fact that the Rambam says you can nail it into the doorway, yeah, you can nail it into the doorway. That's fine. If you wrap it in a cloth alone, or if you put it in a cover alone. But when you do both, The Gra is not saying to leave it naked, to leave the mezuzah empty with nothing around it. He's saying have one or the other. Don't have both. It's not against the Rambam.
Why should both change anything then? If either independently are in a chatzitza, why are the two together?
Because either independently could be attached to the doorway directly, to the doorpost directly, and will therefore become part of the doorpost. But once one of them is attached to the doorpost, the other one, mele, isn't.
But what if the...
If you stuck a nail through the cloth and the thing...
But
and
what if the tube itself is... becomes part of the doorpost, and then the cloth itself is mino, so that's not a problem in its own right. Then
you could argue that the cloth itself, if you hold the min bimino idea, that's the only one this doesn't answer.
Okay.
Correct. Right, that's the only one this doesn't answer. Just going in order, that's the only one this doesn't answer. The Gemara Bava Metzia also wouldn't be a problem about putting it in a reed, because again, that's just a single cover. And it also, meaning, the main problem is the whole chatzitza issue. Who told the Gra that there is such a thing as chatzitza by mezuzah? And the two rai is that there aren't, that there isn't such a thing as chatzitza by mezuzah. And even if you're going to say that there is such a thing as chatzitza by mezuzah, this doesn't seem to fit the halachos of chatzitza. Yeah.
Is the cloth or paper that you're wrapping around considered clay?
No.
So then, with the thing that the Gra has a problem with the Rambam,
no, the Rambam in Hilchus Mezuzah isn't based off Kli. The Rambam in Hilchus Kalim was, because he's talking about Kalim, but in Hilchus Mezuzah he wasn't. The Rambam's lashon of mezuzah is after you achar shagolala, after you roll the mezuzah manicha, you put it in bishvaferes, a tube, shalkana of reeds, o shal eitz, or wood, o shal kaldavar, or anything, and then you mechaber osa, then you attach it to the wall. So not so pasha that the Rambam is only talking kli.
But wouldn't you want to protect it from like the wood, like something like that?
Okay, so
therefore you would have the plastic or whatever it is, and then
one or the other.
No, but if you just had plastic, how are you putting it on the door? Like plastic is not going to hold.
Let's assume you found a way to attach the plastic really well to the door. We'll get to that. We're getting to that next. Okay, I took a little more time on the Gra than I wanted to, so let's move on now. Now let's get to how a mezuzah is placed on the doorpost. First of all, how strong does the attachment have to be? You'll see a lot of times when people either just move in somewhere or they're not sure if they're going to keep the mezuzahs up, they'll sometimes take a cloth, have it wrapped in saran wrap, and just put two pieces of scotch tape to hold it up. Is that okay? Is that kosher from mezuzah? So take a look at the Rambam in Perikei Halacha Vav, source number 12. So the Rambam writes, at the end of that Rambam, how do you attach it? Umechaber osa el mezuzas ha-pesach b'mismar, with a nail, o chofer b'mezuzas ha-pesach u'machnas b'mezuzah, or dig a hole in the doorpost, hollow out a hole in the doorpost and put the mezuzah in that. So the Rambam makes it sound like it either has to become part of the doorpost, or it has to be attached by a nail. Only thing is, there's no Gemara that says that. Gemara never says you need a nail to nail it in. So where did the Rambam get that? It's true, it's mashma from the Rambam, you need a really strong attachment. Where did the Rambam get it from? So for that, you take a look at the Bach. And this Bach will change everything we understood last night about that Gemara in Bava Metzia. Take a look at the Bach, the very next source number 13. Quoting the Torah, the Bach is obviously a commentary on the Torah. You notice already the difference between the way the Torah said it and the Rambam said it? What did the Rambam say? Mechaber osa mezuzas ha-pesach b'mismar o chofer mezuzas ha-pesach. Torah, ketzad kova, yisamer osa b'mismarim b'mezuzas ha-pesach. Rambam says you take a nail and you stick it in. Torah says mismarim, two nails, at least, right? The very, very minimum it's two. But anyway, we'll leave that diuk for later. He says came because of Gamma Rambam sof Parakei v'nirish shalom du lahoris kach mehachtus sof Parakashol. Where did the Rambam get this idea that you have a nail? The Gemara Bava Metzia we saw last night. The Kamar Talmud, Gabi Socher, Bais Mechavero, the Gemara discussed when you rent a house from a friend, the Makom Mezuzah, Kivin Shein Bo Maisu Uman HaSocher Asehu, to set up a spot for the Mezuzah, since it's not a Maisu Uman, it's not something you need a professional, it's the Socher's responsibility, Shari Efshar Hu Beguvsa Dekanya. Why is it not a Maisu Uman? Because you could do it with a Guvsa Dekanya, which we said, a tube. You put it in a tube. Pirush Rashi, Shafilu Makom Mezuzah Hu Even, even if the doorpost is made out of stone, you don't need a maisa uman to put a mezuzah on it. Ain't sark maisa uman linkov bal sedek la'nicha betocha. Why? The efshar hu beguvsa dekanya betola osa. Because you could just put it in a reed or in a pole, in a pipe of some sort, and hang it that way. Val pirush zeh hikshra tais perka komets. Tosos in our Gemara. Lam bezem bezem menachos as lakasha. Now wait a second. One of the first halachas we learned in Hilchos Mezuzah that our Gemara mentioned is Amar Shmuel Tala B'Makal Psula, that if you hang a mezuzah in a tube of some sort, that it's puzzle. You can't have a mezuzah hanging. Mezuzah needs to be attached. V'tirtzu Lo Tali Mamish Ka'amar, that it doesn't literally mean that you're tola it. Okay, what does that mean? Obe Mordechai Hilchos Ketanos Al Shem Rabbeinu Shimshon Nevuah Hatirutz. The Mordechai gives a little more detail what the teretz means. V'zel shona, yesh lomer yachnisenu b'chalal hakana, v'yikve'ena b'kosel ve'in tzaruch uman. You put it in the hollow part of the tube, set that up by the wall, and you don't need a professional. Huh? What's going on here? Says the Bach, nira deratzel lomer, yachnisenu b'chalal hakana orech hakana ka'orech mezuzah, shekasav k'mina kol Yisrael. The length of the kana, the length of this pipe, is the length of the mezuzah, right? Like we always have. Va'achar kein yikve'ena be'etz o be'even shahadelas shokef olav da'af hu kari mezuzah. Da'haynu yisamerosa be'etz o be'even b'mismar. How are you going to attach that to a stone doorpost? You obviously need to take a nail, you need to do something, you need to attach it with some sort of very heavy duty nail. How else is it going to get attached? Meaning we're saying it's got to be a mice, it's got to be something that's not a mice uman. If you're chiseling out a thing in you're chiseling out like a little shelf in the in a stone doorway, well then that takes an uman. We're looking for a way to put up the mezuzah that doesn't take an uman. So the Rambam understood what's the Gemara telling you to do. The Gemara is telling you take a mezuzah cover. Revolutionary. Don't actually hollow out an area in your doorpost. The Rambam invented this idea. The Rambam is saying the Gemara is inventing this idea. And Dafkuf Beizim Bab Metzia saying, no, don't hollow an area in the doorpost. I have a great idea. Mezuzah cover. Put the mezuzah in the mezuzah cover and nail that onto the stone doorway. And that's good enough. So yeah, that's where the Rambam gets the idea that you need to be koveya it in a very serious way, because how else is it going to stick? Meaning, bishlam, if you're talking that it's a hollowed out area, so it doesn't have to, you don't need any nails. Just throw it in there. But the fact that the Gemara says you put it in a reed and then you put it in a tube and then attach that to a stone doorway that doesn't have any pocket to put it in. So it must be that you're attaching it in a very real way. That's how the Rambam understands. He says, but that's not what Tosafot said, the Tosafot that we saw last night. Tosafot that we saw last night understood, let's try to go through this part quickly actually, if you look in the second paragraph of the Bach, he explains in detail what Tosos meant. He said what Tosos understood the Gemara meant when it said you put it in a tube is that you have a giant tube that goes up from the floor to the ceiling and you stick the mezuzah in that. That's what you put the mezuzah in. It's not anything that's actually in, hollowed into the doorway. That's what Tosos said. And you don't need to attach it with a nail because it's just leaning up against the whole doorway. It's a giant tube that leans up against the doorway. And that's good enough. That's how Tosafot, and that's why Tosafot said, okay, bishlama, if you hold that the mezuzah needs to be standing up straight, I understand why you need a giant tube to hold it straight up. Because if you try to put a mezuzah standing up straight on anything else, it's going to fall right over. But if it's in this big tube and you lean the tube up against the doorpost, great, that's fine. But then said Tosafot, but what if you hold that the mezuzah is supposed to be lying down? Why do you need a giant tube? I have a much better idea, Tosafot says. Have like a little ledge like this. Oh, look. Yeah. Right? And take your mezuzah you put it down right like that. It will come right off the doorpost like that. You put the mezuzah down right there. If you say like Rashi, you can't have a little ledge like this because you can do that, and that's going to happen, right? So you need to have a tube that it's in where you have this whole giant tube. One of them, but imagine I have 50 of them attached to each other. This whole giant tube, right, leaning up against the doorpost. But if you say like me, says Tosfos, I don't understand why you need a tube at all. Just make a little ledge and put it down. So Tosfos says, oh, you must need the tube to protect it from the moisture. That's all you needed. That's a Tosfos. But the Ram didn't understand the Gemara that way. The Ram didn't understand that you're leaning a giant tube up against the door. No, he understood. You take a little mezuzah cover that's the size of a mezuzah and you put it on the doorpost. How do you put it on? You nail it in. So how well does it have to be attached? So if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, in Resh Pei Tesvav, he writes, Mustavra at the very end, the last three lines, Mustavra Mikrocha Mezuzah Ben Yarvi Yitzbitkan B'Devek El Mezuzah HaKosel L'Shaber Dami. Glue is good enough also. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Demali Mismar Mali Devek. What difference does it make if it's a nail or glue? Either way, it attaches to the wall. Given Sheneschabra Chibur Gomor, as long as it's really fully, totally connected to the wall. However, he says, Miu below Dibuk, Kagon Shiasa Blita Mi Mezuzah Sabayis, Vianiacho Yamut Sha Mezuzah Eino Klum. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, the idea that Tosfos had, they could just have this little shelf sticking out of the doorpost and just put the mezuzah there, that's bad. That's worthless. It's Eino Klum. You need a chibur gomer. Essentially, the pasuk like the Rambam. It needs to be really attached. So, again, we had a machlokas. Rashi tells us on the one side the way the Bach understood it versus the Rambam. Rashi tells us said that it's a chumrah to be kovea with nails. You don't have to be kovea with nails. Just have it in a tube leaning up against the door. A little shelf would be fine also. But the Ram says, no, you need it really fully attached. Aruch HaShulchan says, we pass on that. The Ram needs to be, Shulchan Aruch says, we pass on that. It needs to be fully attached. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Lashon of the Rambam. So it needs to be fully attached. Fully attached means a very strong kind of glue, something like that. Good. Says the Minchas Yitzchak, he was asked by somebody about using various types of glue. Minchas Yitzchak says, here's the problem with glue. And then I'll bring you a raya that glue is okay. So the problem with glue is the Gemara b'Metzia shelo kasu da'af b'kosel shalvanim efshar l'chaber b'devek. Why didn't the Gemara b'Metzia just say to use glue? Gemara b'Metzia said use this cunning, use a pole to connect it, a tube to connect it. Why not just say glue? Wrap up your cloth, put a little bit of glue on the outside, and stick it on the stone. Why is that not good enough? So he says, must be that the reason is based on the Shach in Yerodeh, Reshai, and Ches, Sifchat, and Beis, that whenever you have glue touching parchment to hold parchment together on a Sefer Torah, let's say, you're asking for trouble if you don't sew it, if you just glue it, because ultimately the glue is going to dry up and it's not going to stick as well and it's going to fall apart. So it must be that what's the problem with the glue? That the glue is not going to be as long lasting. A nail will stay there for much longer than glue will stay there. The glue will dry up. So even though on the first day you glue it, it seems very strong and it seems like it's going to stay forever, but it won't. It's going to dry up shortly. And that's why the glue's no good. However, he says, if that's the case, that was before crazy glue was invented. Or before really good glue was invented. I don't know what kind of glue they had. So yeah, you put a little bit of Elmer's glue, it's not going to stick that long. But you put like some real good... I don't want to... bash the Elmer's company, but honestly, that's what they use in kindergartens because they don't want kids to ruin their hands or whatever. So, but if you have what?
It's edible.
Is it edible?
No.
Okay. Have you tried? smells delicious. if you have real glue, he said it shouldn't be wrong. One second. Then he says, I have a raya from the Gemara Menachos Lamedalid that glue has to be good. Because the Gemara Menachos Lamedalid says that had it not been for Gezeira Shava, that teaches me otherwise, there's a Havamina in the Gemara that you would write the mezuzah on a piece of stone, not on parchment, on a piece of stone. The Gemara actually has such a Havamina. You write the Parshios, Shema Vayim Shema, on a piece of stone, and you put that onto the stone. How are you going to attach stone onto the stone doorpost? How are you going to do that? How are you going to attach stone onto stone? A nail won't do it. Can't put a nail through stone to stone. So it must be that you that the Gemara is assuming that there's some sort of glue. So he says it must be therefore the glue works. Yeah.
The glue going on the parchment.
The suggestion originally.
Is that the glue is going on the parchment.
When the Gemara was saying that, what are you going to do before the Gemara thought of the idea of a mezuzah cover? So yeah, the suggestion that he said was maybe put the glue on the parchment. Yeah. Now what we do is we put glue, not always, we either have nails, which is great for sure, or we have a stick back. A lot of the mezuzahs come with, you pull off a piece of paper and it's a stick back, it's a double-sided tape. It sticks on really well. The key is that it has to stick on really well. So all the poskim seem to say if it sticks on really well, it's great.
Well, we're talking about the case or the cloth? If you're putting the glue on the cloth.
Again, now we're talking about the case because we have cases. When the Minchas Yisrael is bringing a riot from the Gemara, he's saying the line before the Gemara thought of the eights of a case in Bava Siyakov Beis, the line before that, before the Gemara thought of it, why didn't the Gemara think of just using glue directly on the mezuzah?
So can't you say that the problem would be like if you want to go ahead and check it, so you're going to be pulling out the wall and there'd be a problem maybe with rip or something, which then you
that could be a problem also, maybe you'll rip the mezuzah up.
Proof then, because by putting glue in between two stones, if it was written on the stone, you're not going to damage.
Right. Okay. That would be that could very well be. Could very well be. Yeah.
Something wrong with a magnet?
Yeah. It's not really so. It depends how strong the magnet is. There's some magnets that you and I can't, even together, can't pull off. But you know, if it's just a light magnet that you could easily pull off, the chara, there's something wrong with it.
That could be an answer to the Groth question in regard to the nailing it in.
What's that? No, but it's not, the kasha on the grow was that the Rambam talks about using nails. It's not that we couldn't think of any other etza. It's that the Rambam says you use a nail. So how do you use a nail without a mezuzah cup? Right? It's that the grow was against the Rambam. The other answer might just be the grow disagrees with the Rambam. But there is a Gemara Menachos that we saw already. Gemara Menachos, Amar Rabbi Dorma Shmuel, Tala B'makal Psula. That if you hang it in a tube of some sort, it's possible. Well, wait a second. We just said in the Gemara Bamitzia that that's the Eitzah. You put it in a tube. And over here, the Gemara says you hang it in a tube. It's possible. Why? Bisha Arecha Ba'inan. It needs to be on your gate. Look at the Rambam. Source number 17. Perikei Alachas. Talav Makal Psula She'ein Zu Kavua. A little bit different, no? The Gemara says that the reason it's possible is because Bisha Arecha Ba'inan. It needs to be Bisha Arecha. And this isn't called Bisha Arecha. It's just hanging. The Ram says, because it's not kavua. Okay, you could argue that he's translating the Gemara, that Bisha Arecha means that it has to be attached well, Lisha Arecha, and therefore the fact that it's not kavua, or maybe you just have a different gears in the Gemara. Either way. Now, what's the definition of hanging versus attached? The Ram said you need bimismar, it needs to be attached. So Chayadim says, if you only have one nail and the other one, the bottom of it is hanging loosely, that's hanging, that's not attached. That's no good. So now go back to the diuk we made before in the Rambam. The Rambam said different than the Torah. The Torah said, mismarim, use two nails. The Rambam said, mismar, use one nail. Sounds like, according to the Rambam, that's not called hanging, that would be attached. But the way the Torah quotes it, assuming that there are two nails, that would be a problem. Have you ever seen mezuzah covers that are like they have like a wood piece on top, a wood piece on the bottom, and there's like a glass tube that goes through, and like the mezuzah, the tube is actually not touching the wall, right? The tube is touching airspace. There's airspace in between the tube and the wall. L'chora, that could be a problem, right? That could be a problem of being tola. That bisharecha means it has to be on your doorpost. Now, granted, chatzitza is not an issue. Because we already rejected the grow, we said nah, grow is al pi kabbalah. Chatzitza is not an issue, but chatzitza means that there's no empty space. There's just other things there, and those other things become part of the doorpost or whatever. They don't create a chatzitza issue. But when you have empty airspace, that could be a serious chatzitza issue. So a lot of poskim suggest that that's a real problem. That those mezuzahs are a real problem for two reasons. Number one, the issue that there's empty space between the tube and the doorpost. And number two, you could pull it out very easily. It's not really attached. The mezuzah is not attached. You just pull the tube right out. So the mezuzah, it's the top piece and bottom piece are attached to the doorway. That's great, but that's not the mezuzah. Where the mezuzah is actually not attached to the doorway, since you can pull the whole tube right out. So some of the poskim have a major problem with that. The Marsham has a tshuva, Chil Dal Tzimukov Lamed Ches, where he seems to be against this idea, against those kinds of what they would suggest is if you have such a mezuzah in order to solve the airspace problem. Well, in order to solve the fact that you pull it out problem is attach it to the to the thing really well, put some crazy glue on the bottom of the tube or something. In order to solve the airspace problem, you just put like a piece of wood or cardboard or something, just fill it in so that you'll create something that will be there'll be something other than airspace that will be chotzeitz. So that's in terms of that. Just one more thing. The Pesachei Teshuva points out that when you we kept on discussing, like in the old city and places where there are old Jewish communities, a lot of times they chiseled out an area inside the doorpost and they put the mezuzah in there, and someone raised the issue last night, but then you can't see it. So I said, no, it must be that you do see it. So the Pesachei Teshuva discusses this, and he says, it's bar ladina, that you must be able to see it. And he says, that which people are knowing, to put it so, you're not allowed to put more than a tefach into the doorpost, but even if it's in the outside, if it's close to the surface, but it's covered by stone and you can't see it, so the Pesachei Teshuva says that's no good. Why is it no good? So we saw the Rambam last week. The whole point of the mezuzah is to remind you as you walk in and as you walk out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching you and He loves you, and that you don't accomplish that if you don't see the mezuzah. But he says maybe it's good enough if you have a little something sticking out from the hole to remind you that there's a mezuzah there. Even if you can't see the mezuzah itself, just a little something that sticks out to remind you that there's a mezuzah, which is a remarkable thing. Because don't you have to see the mezuzah? So no, apparently you don't have to see the mezuzah, you just have to know there's a mezuzah. You have to have a visual aid to remind you that there's a mezuzah. Reminds me a little bit of Rabbi Willig's psak about the warming drawer. You don't have to actually see the blech that's covering the warming drawer, you just have to see something that sticks out from it that tells you, oh, there must be more foil down there that's covering the warming drawer. The Taz, however, seems on the other side, he says, that ein ikra mitzvah lios niris, that it's not the ikra mitzvah that it should be seen. And he says, adrabba, there are people that didn't put mezuzahs on the doors because they said, I'm afraid people are going to see it and they're going to steal it, and it's better not to be mevazah the mezuzah by having it stolen. They lived in very bad neighborhoods. So this says it's a terrible excuse, because you could put the mezuzah in your doorpost in a way that no one can see it, and that's what you should do. So completely opposite of Pesachei Teshuva. They're both trying to be frum. I mean, Pesachei Teshuva is saying, do it in a way where you remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching. Taz is saying, put a mezuzah on your door. Don't leave your door empty without a mezuzah. Don't use that as an excuse. I think that probably they would both agree that if you can, it should be visible. If you can't, better to put it up at least rather than to not put it at all. Okay, Mishnah tomorrow we'll discuss the exciting topic of how high on the doorway, which everybody gets wrong, la halacha, if you look around, and how to angle the mezuzah.